Okay, Revelation 22 and 15, all right. 14, 13, 12, 11. We gotta auction it off. Okay, so going back just to 12, you see the red letters, so we know these are words of Christ. Behold, I am coming soon, bringing my recompense with me to repay each one for what he has done. We had a word of Christ before that was more of a blessing. This is more of a warning for those who are not in him, that there will be recompense coming with him to repay each one for what he has done. Behold, the Alpha and the Omega, the first and the last, the beginning and the end. Remember, we talked about that at the end last time. And this is three ways of saying something similar, and yet there are distinctions that are there. Otherwise, Christ could have said the same thing three times. Instead, he says Alpha and the Omega. That is, before there's a creation, there is God. So he is the beginning and end of all things, or that he's before and after all things. Then you get to the beginning and the end, which does touch on the element of creation itself. So within the Alpha and the Omega, God's eternal nature, he brings a beginning to creation, and he will bring an end to it as well. Finally, then, the first and the last is something that applies specifically to Jesus and dealing with the work of... At this point, okay, I'm going to make sure the audience knows. I, Jesus, have sent my angel to testify to you about these things for the churches. Okay, who is Jesus' angel? Kind of a weird thought. Jesus, why does he need an angel?
Well, the angel was the one placing the words in John's mouth.
Okay. Yeah, so is that one of the seven? We say the angel that normally speaks to John is one of the seven that we find throughout Revelation. Is one of the seven angels then Jesus' own personal angel?
Well,
possibly, but we don't know that for sure. But
is it necessarily his personal angel?
It says my angel. Now, could they all be his angels? Yeah. Yes, you could probably argue that.
Okay. I mean, I tell people, yeah, my employees.
Sure. Or you'd say one of my angels. Okay. Now, again, it could be that. It could be he has a personal one. It wouldn't be needed. Jesus doesn't need protection. He doesn't need guardianship or somebody to preserve him, but somebody who has all power, all authority. He utilizes angels. What's the key role of an angel? What does the word mean?
Messenger,
right? So you just take from on high and you send out your messengers to communicate. Okay, so that's what he's done here, right? I sent my angel to testify to you, and the Greek word there, you have angel, messenger, martyresa, or martyresai, which is martyr, witness, bear witness. I sent my angel to bear witness to you concerning these things. Okay, epitais ekklesiais, for the churches. Okay. Ecclesia, again, the word for church comes from, breaks down to etymology. Kaleo is the Greek word for calling. Ek is the Greek prefix for out of. So the church are those in a way that are called out of the world and into a separate or a holy group, distinguished in that way. So that's what they're what the angel does, the message to the church, to call them out of. Okay. So testify to you about these things. Or the churches. So Jesus is, what is he saying here ultimately? I've authorized all of this. Okay? This is my message that I'm giving to you about all these things that will take place. The seven churches initially listed, but we know represent the entire Christian church. The perfect number of completion, right? Seven. Okay? Now, to the last statement here. I am the root and the descendant of David. Okay, so what is he identifying?
He's the promised Messiah.
Okay, promised Messiah who comes as a descendant of David, but he's also the creator of David. He's his root. Okay, David has come forth from him, and now Jesus comes forth from David. Okay. Before Abraham was, I am. Right? Abraham rejoiced to see my day, and he saw it, and he was glad. How in the world did that happen? You're not even older than 50 years old. Before Abraham was, I am. See, Jesus does make those claims. Now, he doesn't ever say, I am God. I and the Father are one. Before Abraham was, I am. Ego eimi, ego eimi, ego eimi. The claims are there. Okay. Pretty clear. Dan?
And when he says it's the bright morning star, that's not David the bright morning star, it's Christ the bright morning star.
Yeah,
right. Don't you have an image of that as something, the morning star is like the sky is so clear and pure in that morning time.
Yeah.
When everything is new and fresh coming up on again, mm-hmm. then he is the bright light of that newness.
Yeah, scientifically, now I'm trying to think of this, morning star, what does that even mean? A morning star, how fair and bright we have the hymn, right? You know, Philip Nicolai. Okay, and we have the first, the evening star, right? We talk about that. The first star you can see at night. Is this the last star you can see before it gets fully bright? And when, how, well, what star would that be then? If it's the sun is coming up and it's the last star you can see, it would be then probably the brightest. Because once things get really bright, you can't see the dim, right? So it would be, have its own brightness. Plus then, again, I don't know how you determine what's an evening star versus a morning star. Okay? But the fact that he's being called the morning star, what does that indicate about the night?
It's over.
It's coming to an end. Right? So this is not just, oh, a nice picturesque morning star. He is the bright morning. He is the bringer in of the end of darkness. The end of the night. Okay, and again, you have that picture in Revelation, right? There will be no darkness at all. Christ is the light. Okay, and he is the temple itself, and he's dwelling with his people. There's no need for a lamp, because Christ is its light. Okay, and he is the bright morning star. Morning star, how fair and bright. Okay, beautiful. And Jesus, again, not accidentally, not saying this, he's simply identifying, again, who he is. Poetic, right? What you love about good authors. Okay, they're not just throwing words out there to use words. They have meaning. They attach things to that. Jesus, of course, the best author there is. He is the bright morning star. He's the bringer of the end of the night. By his work of righteousness, he does it. Okay? 17, the Spirit and the Bride say, come. Okay, so this is interesting. Spirit and the Bride. Spirit is
the Holy Spirit.
The Bride is the church. So they're unified in their message. Right, and come, what is that indicating?
The end,
right? Come, Jesus, and let the one who hears say, come. All those who are believing in the gospel, okay, let them say, come. Bring in, that is, don't ever be thinking, Jesus, don't come. Wait, linger, we're doing fine here, rather come. Okay? Anticipate it, be anxious for it, be excited for it. Let the one who is thirsty come. So still the message is out there for the gospel to be proclaimed. There's still time. There's still hope. Okay, announce that message. So those who are thirsty, who are sinful, who need to hear the gospel, can hear the gospel. Okay, let the one who desires take the water of life without price. It's still there, freely offered, but not forever. Okay? The time is not yet. We're still hoping for the end. We still want Christ to come and soon. But in the meantime, the gospel is still being proclaimed. I warn everyone who hears the words of the prophecy of this book. If anyone adds to them, God will add to him the plagues described in this book. If anyone takes away from the words of the book of this prophecy, God will take away his share in the tree of life and in the holy city, which are described in this book. Okay? God gets to determine that. Okay? The caution is, just don't do it. Don't even allow yourself any temptation. Specifically, this book, Revelation, is being mentioned. Is there a general application to the entirety of Scripture? Yeah, I think you can go that way. Yeah, John doesn't know at this point when he's writing what the whole Scripture, the whole Bible will be. Okay, the Old Testament's pretty well established at that point. The New Testament things, most of it's been written. John's is the last, though, right? This is probably the very last word of Scripture to be included in the canon to be written. Okay, so he's getting near the end. And then that'll be the seal placed on it, in a sense. But it's not to be sealed, it's to be revealed and made known to everyone. Yeah, Dan?
I think it's each epistle, each gospel, each book of the Old Testament prophecy is complete as far as being revealed by the Holy Spirit.
Mm-hmm.
We should not change that revelation.
Right.
So it is by divine
Right. Yeah. And again, there's nothing from on high stating what is to be included in the canon of Scripture. That is a man-made invention, but I don't think we say it's untouched by God's desire either. He's guided that process, and that there's been proper evaluation of the works that are included in the Scripture to say, yes, they are the Word of God and are to be forever considered as. Are there other things that could have been added? Other writings of the apostles? Of course. Okay, but they made a decision at some point to say, this is enough. Okay, and it's all that we need. Everything you need is written in the Scriptures for your salvation. Okay. Is there extra? Of course. But not necessary for salvation. So hold to those things that are there, including especially the book of Revelation. Don't doubt any of it. Okay, it's going to happen. If you take away any of it or add to it, watch out. Yeah.
I think we should always think, come Lord Jesus.
Sure.
Yeah, come Lord Jesus. So yeah, maybe the common table prayer isn't so off in that sense, right? Come Lord Jesus. Well, and then it's not really Revelation thinking, but you want him to be at your table, but still. Maranatha, right? Come Lord Jesus.
Chuck. So the Jehovah's Witness Bible is an example where they've taken the Scripture and changed it to fit with their preaching.
Sure. In a literal sense.
Look at John 1, right. It doesn't say they've changed it. Where it doesn't say in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God.
Yeah.
It's got a totally different
interpretation, translation. I'm not sure what if they are.
And if you look at all the different translations, it pretty much says their Bible.
Right.
Completely doesn't have that in it.
Sure.
It says something.
Right. So it's if we're going to talk in a literal sense, they would have had to have taken the Greek and made a change there. Now, they may have made a mistake in translation, but intentionally so. They're allowing their theology to dictate their interpretation. They don't believe Jesus is fully God, so they can't allow, even if they have the original Greek, to say what the original Greek says and what the church has said in that sense. So in a literal sense, yeah, that would be one of those instances. How else is this violated in a non-literal sense?
The Book of Mormon is another perfect example because the Mormon church teaches that is on the same part
right.
of Scripture.
You add to it, right.
And so that would be one of the clearest violations of this.
Yes. Yeah. So that stuff added to it, put on the same level of Scripture, okay, that something is equal there. Other ways we violate it, though, take away or add to this. I mean, we do this in our own lives. Okay? When we, again, make ourselves gods every time we sin. That's not a literal violation of this per se. We're not writing something in, although you may have taken notes in your Bible. Watch out, right? You've added to the Scripture. No, that's not what it's talking about. But it's taking matters into your own hands, putting your own spin on it to convenience you and not your desire to follow after God. That's the ultimate caution. Okay? The message that's here is the gospel, is Christ. Don't touch it. Don't take away from that. Okay. Who is really guilty of this, especially as Luther discovers? The Catholic Church. They added to Scripture. They didn't write anything in, but their teachings went against it. I'd say that's a violation of that. Okay. They added to it or took away from the gospel message. Not appropriate. And that's the whole message of Revelation, right? This is the caution. What's going to arise? It's going to be the anti-church. It's going to look like it's good. It's going to look like everything. I think this is a summation, then, of that caution. This is what's going to happen if you add or take away from the book. You might look the part, but it's not really the part. So you got to be careful. Yeah. Right. Yeah. And again, we've got to be careful, just that we don't make it a literal thing. Okay, well, my Bible doesn't have anything literally added to it. I'm okay. It's, again, our thinking. How do we justify our sin? How do we justify ourselves before God? That's a violation of that. We got to hold to the teaching and the proclamation of the gospel. Okay, that's why word and sacrament ministry is so vital. That's where that is properly proclaimed. That's where God promises to give us his grace. Okay, so we cling to those things. That's the message of the Scriptures. Okay, find salvation or your hope in other things. That's a violation of that. You've added to the message of the text. So there's an idea of content specific, but also the general meaning of the text too. Okay. All right.
last thing. All right, already overtime, sorry, but we're two verses away, so at least let's get to the two verses. So he who testifies to these things says, surely I am coming soon. So Jesus, again, the words of Jesus, he's the one testifying to these things, surely. Verily, make sure that's verily there, verse 20. Verily, surely, testifying to these things, yes. Oh, yeah, there's amen, good. So amen is the verily, verily, surely I am coming soon. He who testifies to these things, yes. Nai is the Greek word for yes, so I don't know why it didn't translate it in the ESV there. I am the one, I am coming quickly, soon, taku, surely. And amen then, come Lord Jesus. Truly, surely, come, be the coming one, Lord Jesus. And then finally, the conclusion, last verse, the grace of the Lord Jesus be with all. Okay, the grace of the Lord Jesus with everything, with all things, with everything. Okay. So, that's how the scriptures end. The revelation ends, John's word, emphasizing, ending with grace, right? As proclaimed throughout the entire book, as the entire message of the scripture. It's all about God's grace. Dan?
And once again, I said last week, this is the third time in this chapter he says, I am coming soon.
Yeah.
And there again, I think you said that was about completeness again, the three statements.
Sure, yeah, there you go. Yeah, again, it's witnessing, right? Two or three witnesses are needed to establish the validity of the truth. Jesus' statement, behold, I am coming soon. See, I am coming soon. Surely, amen, verily. He uses those words to emphasize strength. Okay, again, surely I am coming soon. And then amen, come Lord Jesus is the reply of the church then, of John himself. Surely I am coming soon. Yeah, but what's the tendency we have, especially when we were kids, you know, you tell your mom and dad, are we there yet? Well, soon. We'll be there soon. Or can I have this? Well, not yet, but soon. You keep asking, it soon, and what do you finally, you stop believing it's going to ever come, right? That's not the case here. Jesus is emphasizing, yes, I am coming soon. It's been 2,000 years, almost, since his ascension. Church said, oh, he's not coming anytime soon. I got time, whatever. No, this is constant. It could be any time. Whole message of one of the big themes of the text. It could be any moment. Be ready. And how are you ready? Through the grace of God in Christ. Given word and sacrament through his church. You're in. You've got it. Perfect. Which is? Right. Yeah. So, yeah, he's delaying so that more and more can come to faith in Christ. But at some point, it's going to come to an end. Okay. The patience of God will expire. He's very tolerant. He's very patient right now. Allowing the gospel to be proclaimed. Okay. But at some point, it's going to be cut off. Could be right now. It's not. Could be right now. Wasn't. You just don't know. But you got to be ready. Be ready. And you're ready through the gifts of God in Christ. All right. Good. Next week and the next 2 weeks we'll take to kind of overview, recap everything. So that any other lingering questions can be answered. I'll try and provide something that gives a clearer presentation of the images that are in Revelation, so you, when you go back and review it on your own, you can see this is what is represented by this, and so forth, so you can kind of have a helpful guide in that sense. And then any questions that come up, anything to touch on, we can talk about, especially now, the main controversies that Revelation brings up are the premillennialists, left behind groups, those who think the rapture is going to happen, stuff like that. So we'll address those again, make sure we're clear on all that, how we debate against that or go against that. But otherwise, good. So we'll probably start a new topic beginning of March. So our last day on this will be February 28th, which is also Mardi Gras. So I thereby commission you to bring in party stuff for February 28th. We celebrate Mardi Gras before Ash Wednesday begins and we go into fasting mode, right? So dress in sackcloth and ashes. If you want, you can bring in something to celebrate Mardi Gras.
last day before, probably more of a celebration of the ending of the class, how about that, of Revelation, and make it a feast like that of the new heavens and the new earth, the Lamb of God. Okay, let's stand and sing the dog song.
Praise God from